Okay, well, Dawn French, thank you so much for talking to me about your new book.
You're very welcome.
According to Yes.
Yes.
I may have missed a stop on my tube, or a few.
Yes.
Because I was engrossed in reading it.
Were you?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm delighted
honestly,
to hear that.
Honestly, I was just like, oh, I don't want to put it down.
Good.
Where did your idea come from for this one?
Well, you know, when I was 18, I won a scholarship with the English Speaking Union to go and study in America. It was an exchange student scheme. So 15 kids came from America to England, and 15 kids went from England to America. And I was one of those kids. And I landed in New York, and I did the last year of school again in New York. So I lived with a family in New York. May I hasten to add, a lovely, warm, friendly family. But it gave me an idea to write something. And this was way back when I was 18, about living inside a family, you know, where you get to know intimately all about them. And because I was only 18 and going to school there, I had arrived with 200 quid in my pocket, which I had made by being a chambermaid throughout the summer in Salcombe in Devon. And I thought 200 quid was a fortune and would last me for, I don't know, 10 years. In fact, it lasted me about 2 weeks, mainly because of pizza. Mm-hmm. And I ran out of money and I thought, I'm going to have to go home. And I didn't want to go home, so I'm going to have to get a job in the evenings. And the only job I was qualified to do, and I wasn't even qualified to do that, was to babysit.
Yeah.
So I became a babysitter, and I got all the plum jobs because I've got a British accent, obviously, and Upper East Side Americans think you're Mary Poppins or something. And so I looked after lots of little kids to make money. And that was when I realised that at age 18, I was given the keys to people's apartments and the charge of their children. And it was very weird to me to be allowed inside their lives in this very intimate way. And I heard and saw things that really I shouldn't have known. And I put all that in my little, you know, folder in my head. And then when I came to write this story, I thought, that's what I want to do. I want to write a woman who's considerably older than I was. My character is called Rosie Kitto, and she's 38. She's from Cornwall. And she gets on a plane. She's leaving a bit of a heartache behind. She gets on a plane to go to live in Manhattan to have a new job looking after twin 10-year-old boys. And while she's on the plane, she decides that she's going to live her life slightly differently when she gets off the plane, and she's going to live it according to Yes. She's going to try and say yes more often. And she's a big ball of sunshine, a very optimistic character who arrives like a big bright ray into this very dark life of this family who are ruled over by a very icy matriarch called Glenn. And really, this book is about the kind of battle. And in my mind, it's a bit of a love story in an odd way between these two women, you know, one who's got control over everything and one who has just decided to abandon all, you know, live her life in an abandoned, optimistic way. So it's two opposing kind of energies. And then lots of things happen. And Rosie, because she's decided to say yes to things, certainly does say yes to some things that are a bit racy. And she gets a bit embroiled with a bit of a saucy life in New York.
Well, that's what you want. One of the things, though, about her is the nanny figure. And now sort of knowing that actually this is inspired by your experiences at 18.
Yes.
So are you the type of person that would tell a little kid, oh, you've got superpowers? And because that's how I want to imagine you.
Definitely. I definitely would. I mean, I think the bit most like me about this character is and that is what I did. And, you know, really, the best way to be with kids, in my opinion, is to be like a slightly more grown up, slightly more sensible version of a kid. Mm. And it doesn't take much to persuade me to play, you know. So when I was looking after those kids, I just tried to find as many adventures as I could have in New York. And in this book, I do try to describe some of the adventures I had with kids and some new ones that I went to New York to research in kind of secret New York, if you like, places that you might not know exist in New York that you can take kids to and have a bit of fun.
Because I was going to say, was this a bit of an excuse to be like, I'm going to have to go and research in New York?
Well, bear in mind, I had lived there for a year when I was 18. And because I lived there and went to school, I've got lots of friends there. Yeah. And so I go very often to New York. But I did need to go back because, very specifically, I wanted to write this book set in a certain part of New York that I know quite well. But when I knew it very well was the 70s, when I was there, the late 70s. And I thought, I need to go back and see if it still is like that. So I walked around those streets, and for a while I thought, maybe I won't set it here. But as I walked around the streets, I thought, actually, do you know what? Some of the shops have changed a bit, but really this is the same kind of people. Mm. And so I understand this part of New York. I know it well enough to write it.
I have got to ask you a little bit about this whole thing that's come out. Everyone's saying that you're taking some responsibility for Fab.
Yeah. Oh, well, I'd like to take all the responsibility, yeah. But I do have to give Jennifer credit for actually writing it. but I don't think she would have written it without some persuasion from me, because I know that girl, and she procrastinates about everything. She prevaricates about everything. She puts everything off. She's been supposed to be writing this film for 7 years. And she has every year said she's going to write it, and then she doesn't. She just finds some power hosing to do rather than actually get down to any work. And you've got to bear in mind that all the work life, the partnership we had together, it was me making sure we stayed in the office until we got the work done. She is the one who would like to be at the pictures instead. So we did a bit of both yeah. when we were working together. So I knew in order to get her to write it that I would have to dare her, if you like. So I challenged her with a bet. And the bet was she had to give me £100,000. I knew it had to be considerable for her to take it seriously. Or the script by a year afterwards, okay. live on air. Because we were making a radio show, you yeah. see. So I gave her the challenge live on air, and I received the script a year later live on air.
Okay.
Although she hadn't written the script up to 3 weeks just before that. So she wrote it at the last minute, like she does everything. But I have to tell you, it's a great script.
So you don't owe her £100,000?
No, it's a one-way bet. I just said, you give me the money or you give me the script. Because I didn't want the money. I wanted her to write the script. But I knew that unless I absolutely challenged her in that way, and I kept saying to her, Jen, I'm taking your money. You better get on with it. And she was like, yeah. And I said, no, seriously, I'm taking your money. And I spoke to her husband and said, get your checkbook out, because I'm taking that money off you. And they all got a bit scared, and then she wrote it. And that's Jen all over. She needs the fear.
Obviously, they're shooting right now, but you're about to go on stage, so I'm guessing you're not going to get any set visits?
No, I know, and I love set visits, because that's where all the snacks are. That's the best place to be. Well, they're in France at the moment, actually, so they're a long way away. But they are coming back and shooting a whole load more of it in a few weeks' time, so maybe I'll get a visit then.
Go and sneak on.
Yeah, maybe.
Are we going
to
see,
You know, look, my job when it comes to this film, you know, besides getting it up and running at all, is to be Jen's reserve bench person. And if she needs me to do anything, I'll do it. In fact, she's asked me to do two things already, which she then the next day wrote out.
Oh.
So I've been in, out, and I'm on the reserve bench. The next thing she asked me to do was when I'm on stage in Liverpool. So I can't do that bit either. So let's see as it goes. But I don't mind whether I'm in it or not, so long as it gets made and she's got all the proper, you know, A team with her. Yeah. That's all that matters.
Amazing. Can we talk about your show?
Yes.
I don't know whether to call it a play, because it's not a play. But
well,
it's not a...
you're right to wonder what it is, and I have trouble referring to whatever it is. I know what it isn't. It isn't a play. It isn't stand-up. It isn't a slideshow. It isn't monologues. But it's a bit like all of those things. I mean, what I'm pleased about by not being able to define it is that it's unique, and it's I have never seen a show like this, and that's a good thing. But it means that it's hard to define it. It's basically me on stage for the best part of 2 hours, with an interval, I hasten to add, explaining what it's like to be me. Yeah. And by doing that, I hope that I connect with other people, because my life isn't so different to anybody else's. I just talk about what it's like to be a mum, a sister, a daughter, a granddaughter, a friend, a lover, a wife. I'm all of these things, as many of us are. But, you know, I wrap it up in one big kind of dawn bow, and I have a little rant about things that annoy me. I have some funny stories about people in my family. I visit some of the more difficult parts of my life. So some of it's not all laughs. There's bits, it's a bit of an emotional roller coaster. But if I'm going to take you to difficult places, I then pick us all up and make sure that we leave the theatre happy, you know.
How different is it getting on stage by yourself?
Really weird. And I miss Jennifer an awful lot to begin with. In fact, I have said this before, and it is true that Michael Grandage, who directed it, asked me to stand in the middle of the stage. And he kept saying, why are you moving over to the left all the time? And I realised what it was. It's because I was leaving a space for Jennifer on the stage, because I'm used to doing that. Eventually I took centre stage, and now, honestly, it's very hard to get me off.
Jennifer can never come back.
She's
now.
Not allowed on. She's been to see it a lot of times, actually. She was in tears the first time she came to see it, because she's like a sister to me, you know, and she's very supportive, as indeed I am of her.
Amazing. I just got a few quick questions because we're all getting very excited for Bond here at the moment.
Ah, yes, yes.
Yeah, this, I mean, I don't know if you've heard of it. It is.
Yes.
Yeah, so it's out on Monday. So I'm just wondering, who is your favourite Bond?
Oh, gosh, I'm really sorry, but I think it probably has to be Sean Connery. Mm-hmm. I think so, because that was the Bond I went to see with my family. You know, that was my kind of shared experience with my family to see. But they've all been pretty good, haven't they? And he's a bit tasty now, Daniel Craig.
I know.
I sat next to Rachel Weisz. Yeah. Weisz or Vice?
Yeah, Vice.
Rachel. I sat next to Rachel on the sofa the other day on Graham Norton's show. And she's such a beauty. And she's so clever. And she's funny and lovely and everything. And I now understand why Daniel Craig has her.
Oh.
Yeah, although I slightly have my eye on him.
And just out of interest, do you think, who would you like to be the next Bond?
Do you know, there are two people I would like to see as Bond. One is Hugh Laurie.
Mm-hmm.
I think he'd make a great Bond. And the other one is Idris Elba.
Yeah.
I think he would make a brilliant Bond. So either of those two I'd be very happy with. Or maybe both.
Why not?
Or maybe a girl. I know it can never be a girl.
I think it can.
Well, it should be, but I guess if we're going to be true to Ian Fleming, then it can't be. But maybe there's a life after Bond with a new kind of action hero.
Yeah, fingers crossed.
Yeah. Well, and I'm available, just saying that.
I would love to see you as female Bond. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Moneypenny.